This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month med plus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they are referred to so often. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joe, the Preds make another move yesterday. They bring in Denis Gurianov on a one-year, $850,000 deal. So not a very expensive deal for the Predators yesterday, but Gurianov, originally drafted by the Dallas Stars, I believe is number 12 overall in 2015. So a relatively high draft pick from Dallas. Had some good seasons with the Stars. Was traded last year to Montreal. He did have a 20-goal season for Dallas back in the 1920 season, but really hasn't been much of an offensive threat. His best season was in 21-22 when he put up 31 points. He had 11 goals and 20 assists that year. So probably at this point, third liner, somewhere in that neighborhood in terms of what he is to a team. But that's the move the Predators make yesterday, bringing in Denis Gurianov. Now, he's only 26 years old, so it's not like they brought in some, you know, 33-year-old out there. So we'll see if there's a level that he can reach here that he's not really reached yet in his NHL career. But another move made for a guy that is an NHL forward and I think will have a spot on the lineup, Joe. So it's interesting from that standpoint because we're adding yet another quote-unquote veteran to the group. He's not Ryan O'Reilly and he's not Gus Nyquist, but he is a veteran. He's been around for a while now. And it got me thinking. I just kind of scratched together a Preds lineup. I think that there's still room for Luke Evangelista and Philip Tomasino to make the team out of camp. I think we know Parsonen is going to be here. We know Cody Glass is going to be on the team. But I do wonder, like, some other younger guys that could be in contention for a spot, like an Igor Afanasyev or maybe even a Joakim Kemble, even though I think it makes a lot of sense to keep him in Milwaukee.
He's got another year in Milwaukee, right?
I think at least a start, for sure. What do you make of Trotz bringing in some of these veteran guys and what that could mean for the young guys? Because they still, like, Cole Smith is under contract next year. Kiefer Sherwood is under contract next year. Michael McCarron is under contract. Now, all of those guys that I just mentioned there are cheap deals that you could probably put on waivers and maybe find a way to get through. So it's not like you can't maneuver with those guys. But what did you make of the Preds bringing in yet another veteran in Gurianov yesterday?
You know who you haven't mentioned?
Who's that?
You didn't mention Tommy Novak.
I do. Yeah, well, I've got him on the team.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, you didn't say it. Tommy Novak continues to be...
He's on the team.
Overlooked. Yes. He's definitely... Okay, so, well, first of all, okay, well, let me hear your lineup. So I'm gonna type it out.
All right, I've got Forsberg, O'Reilly, Evangelista, and I literally put this together in 18 seconds, so we'll see. Parsonen, Cody Glass, and Tomasino. On third line, I've got Nyquist, Novak, Gurianov, and the fourth line is Trenin, Sissons, and Sherwood/Smith/McCarron, one of those guys.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right.
But that's 14 forwards right there.
Yeah, I guess, like, if you look at that, and I guess you could make the case, you know, there was room for another veteran presence. It was interesting yesterday when this happened. Arpon Bass, who covered the Canadians for a long time, he said that they really liked him.
Yeah.
They tweeted something to that effect. They liked him. They wanted to try to make it work to keep him around. So, you know, I guess, because the thing is, to me, it's like, your lineup, this lineup, even with him, still you have Novak center line. You have, like you said, Parsonen and Cody Glass were in. You have Evangelist and Tomasino in key roles. I mean, basically, if you didn't, so let's say before this signing, then you got Novak, Nyquist, and Trennan up there. Trennan and Sissons are going to be together.
You would think,
yeah. So basically, you're just moving up some of those other kind of young guys who, like you said, are kind of interchangeable to the third line potentially with them, right?
Probably so. I mean, I think Nyquist should be a lock for the third line. Like, I think that's what he is now, is just a third liner. The center depth is interesting because Tommy Novak, as we discussed, put up a ton of points last year. I think it was, 43 points in 51 games or something like that. I mean, right now, with the lineup I just threw out there, he's your third line center, which honestly I think is what he might be, is a third line center, maybe a really good third line center in his career. But I'm just assuming O'Reilly's your number one and Glass is your number two. So if that's the case, Novak is number three. The one part about this lineup that is interesting to me, and I don't know what they're going to do with it. Personally, I'd like to see Parsonen at center.
I was just going to say that.
And, you know, right now I think he's on the wing, which I don't really love. Like, I'd like to see Parsonen down the middle and to see what he can do there.
I agree. I think he could be – I think the feel he has or the vision he has, I just think that he's got some special traits, and obviously he's got the size. Is it possible that you just sort of flip it around and you put Novak on the wing?
I mean, you could. I mean, I like him down the middle too. The problem is, like, Cody Glass is a center. Like, you're running out of options at this point of where to put, unless you want to put, like, move Sissons to the wing and put one of them as your fourth line center, which I don't know. I mean, we've seen Sissons play on the wing a little bit, but I still think he's really good down the middle. So, the good news is you got options at center, and if somebody gets hurt, like, you can slide a Parsonen and over. But it's really interesting to me what they've done with their lineup. Nick, what'd you think of the Gurianov ad?
Yeah, one thing that stood out to me, you guys hit all the nails on the head and just in terms of what he really is, but I thought this was intriguing. He likes to shoot a lot.
He does.
A lot. And the 20-goal season for him, it kind of looks like a fluke, but, I mean, he did put 20 behind someone, so, I mean, it looks good for him. But that's interesting that you said that Montreal wanted to keep him. I mean, they didn't give him an offer, but that doesn't mean that you don't want to keep someone. You just want to negotiate your own deal with them. But I think one thing that stands out to me about him, yeah, it's the shooting. Another thing, too, is he's a big forward. And so I could see him playing with Sissons and Trennan, honestly. I think
he's 6'3", 205. He's a big guy.
I think that could be your new herd line, essentially, if you want to look at it that way. I think he's someone that...
Where's Cole Smith going
to
play?
Man, that's true. Yeah, that's right. We have to remember our boy.
Key question.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to have to at least force someone to the wing. I think that's what you guys are getting at here, and I think that's what you're going to have to see. Now, I think the bigger question for me is, if you do move Parsonen to the middle, how effective is he going to be? Because if he's a more effective than a Cody Glass, or if he's more effective than a Novak down the middle, I'm all for it, but I need to see it. So I didn't see a whole lot of that from him last year. I know that he got hurt against the Sharks. It was a late night game, and he had a stinger that just went down his back, and he never came back at all throughout the season. So hopefully he's fine. He looks fine. But
he got back the last couple games.
The last few,
between the legs goal. But
yeah, so I don't know. I think Dennis is going to be interesting. I think he shakes up some things. I love how Preds Twitter yesterday freaked out.
They were freaking out.
Because of Tomasino, and I'm like, come on. Like, this is ridiculous.
I don't think it affects Tomasino.
No.
I do think for guys like an Igor Afanasyev, who a lot of people are penciling into the lineup right now.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't see a spot for him.
I don't either.
In the NHL.
I like him, but I just don't see a spot for him. And I think, too, he could be a pivotal piece to developing with the younger guys in Milwaukee. I think, if anything, we're seeing from Barry that patience is key as it is anyway. And so I think he'd be more than happy to keep Igor down there as much as he is happy with trying to pursue going to the NHL. I'd be more than happy keeping him down there, though, because there's a lot of young guys. And look, I mean, Kyle O'Reilly's another veteran they're adding. If Igor's down there, has the experience, he can help these guys. There's more merit to that, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way the roster is shaking up right now. Like, and the other part, Joe, is like, Tomasino, to me, if he's going to be in the top six, if he's making the team, which I think he will. I think he's going to make it. I think he'll be in the top six. Now, I said the same thing last year heading into
camp. But that's not even – it can't be a question this year, right?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I think he's – it's time to see it, right?
Yeah, you gotta have the opportunity.
I don't think Gurriel, like, I did see Pred Suter yesterday, a lot of people freaking out about, like, what this means for Tomasino. Like, I don't think Gurianov is a top six player right now.
For a very bad team, he is.
Yeah, like, maybe, well.
Well.
We'll see.
No,
Montreal.
Yeah, for Montreal.
Right. Well, I think that, I think Tomasino and Evangelista, I think. I mean, Evangelista... like, you've got him on that top line. I think that
it'd
be
hard for me to keep him off the team. Anything can happen in training camp. And look, the contract situation is what it is. You can send him down, and he doesn't have to go to waivers. So that does play into this. When you're making decisions at training camp, whether or not you have the freedom to send somebody to Milwaukee does play into decision making. But it's hard for me to get to, based on what we saw from Evangelista last year and what he continued to do for Milwaukee in the playoffs after. It's hard for me to not see a spot for him in training camp.
Yeah. Like, they need him to just continue on this trajectory. But in Tomasino, like, you know, it's really interesting. Obviously, last year they did what they did. I'm not sure what he is.
I'm not either. But I think we're getting close to the point where you got to start trying to find out.
I think the opportunity is necessary.
I agree.
A full, extended opportunity.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds. They add Denis Gurianov yesterday to their lineup. What did you make of that move? What do you think it means for the young guys heading into training camp? Take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. .1025/106.3 The Game has the chance for you to win tickets to concerts and sporting events, plus an ultimate staycation that includes Titans tickets, Preds tickets, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to sound waves. Black Tie Moving delivers the game's summer ticket tour. Stay tuned for more details. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Preds make another move yesterday, bringing in forward Denis Gurianov. Adding to the forward group, 1 year, $850,000. So not a very expensive deal for the Predators yesterday. And, you know, for a one-year deal, taking a shot on a guy like that, we'll see how he plays in this lineup. Travis on the text line says, I think this year under a new coach might prove to be very beneficial for Philip Tomasino. And I am curious to see, I mean, ultimately, when they get through training camp, you know, Barry Trotz's opinion definitely matters. But Andrew Brunette's opinion matters, too, when you're making your roster and deciding who's going to be on your 23-man NHL roster coming out of camp. Like, Andrew Brunette and the way that he wants to play and how he wants to use Tomasino, Evangelista, a lot of these young guys is going to be really interesting to see. Does he want to give them that responsibility right off the bat, playing in the top six? Is that something that you could see later in the year? You know, one thing I always tell people coming out of camp, especially in hockey, it's a little bit different. Like, your roster out of camp and your roster throughout the season are oftentimes two different things. But I am really interested to see who actually makes the team out of camp given their current contract situation.
Someone asked you for your D pairings.
I think you
wrote it.
Yeah, but I, the real answer is I don't know. I'm hoping that they don't put Luke Shen with Roman Yossi.
Trotz said they're going to.
I know. I just think, I mean, Roman Yossi is going to play, what, 26 minutes a night? And I know some of that's power play and all that stuff. But, like, do you really want Luke Shen playing 20 minutes a night?
Do you want Fabbro playing that much?
Probably not. I mean, honestly, I would really love to see Yossi and McDonough back together because I think before Yossi got hurt, they were starting to play really well. The problem is when you do that, all right, well, who's playing with Tyson Barrie? And you got a ton of right-handed defensemen right now. We know the lefty-righty combo that they love. I mean, right now it's, well, you got two guys that are left-handed. So, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how they place that together. I think my answer back to him was Yossi, Fabbro, McDonough, Barrie, and then Shen and Carrier on the third pair. Because, I think Luke Shen's a third-pairing defenseman. But they might put him with Yossi.
And then Lozon, the odd man out.
I think he's probably the odd man out. I still wonder if another move may be coming that way.
It would kind of make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know if it would be, you know, would it be a Fabro? I mean, they just re-signed Carrier to a one-year deal. Now, he's also an unrestricted free agent. You know, you could move Tyson Berry. I mean, that could be – I think if the Predators aren't in the playoff hunt, they will move Tyson Berry at some point.
He could absolutely be a deadline guy for sure.
Absolutely. So do you want to do that now or – I don't know. I just wonder if another move could be coming on the defensive side of things just because I don't know that – we saw enough from Spencer Stastny last year where he's the team out of camp. I think he's pretty close. Like I think he played well in the opportunity he was given last year. They're very high on Livingstone, the kid that they signed, a college free agent out of last year. I think it would probably do him some good to start in Milwaukee, which he will. But with some of those young guys, I wonder if they clear out some space for one of them to come up at some point.
Yeah, it would make sense. Ethan from Lawrenceburg says, I feel like these moves keep you from drafting the top five, finding that one center to develop. That's my only real problem with these moves. Also says, I think Evangelista gets the needs more seasoning treatment. I don't think that happens this year.
I don't think so.
Last year, remember, last year was, they signed Nino Niederreiter. Like, coming off the year before, last year was another, it was like, okay, what's the best possible team you can have? It wasn't about development at all. And while you could make the case, especially if Tomasino plays well this year in the top six, so here, this is why you do it. I think that Evangelista is too good.
The one thing I'll say is Barry Trotz has said multiple times that he would rather overcook a guy in the American Hockey League than just rush him up. And I get that thought process. I also, like at some point, you have to look at what the player has done. And Evangelista has been really productive. So, he played a lot with Novak last year. Maybe they want to keep that going. I don't know. I think he's going to make the team out of camp. I just think he was too good last year to leave him off the roster. That's just me.
What about the, keeping you from that? That is the, that's the thing. Like the Ryan O'Reilly, and someone asked, like, what was the pitch to Ryan O'Reilly, which I think is interesting. Ryan O'Reilly, by the way, was supposed to talk yesterday. He had some travel issues, so he's going to talk tomorrow. But
yep.
I thought about that too. Because if you're Ryan O'Reilly, you're getting a little older here. Yep. And so you would think that a big priority would, first of all, who wants you? What are you getting offered? All that stuff, all that matters, of course. He does strike me as a guy who wants to win, right?
Me too. I think, first off, when he does talk, I think you'll hear him say that he believes that they can turn this thing around pretty quick, which maybe they can. We'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. I think he'll probably say, I played against UC Soros a lot. I know how good he is. And when you have a guy like that, you have a chance. I think what he probably won't say that I think is a big factor is, were the Predators the only team willing to give him a four-year deal?
Yeah.
Because that could be – I think that may be your answer of, 4 years? Yeah, I'll do it. I'm not saying I don't know. Somebody else may have offered him a four-year deal. I have no idea. But we talked about the term with these contracts.
It does seem like an extra year to make the difference.
Yeah, it kind of feels like you give me 4 years, that's what it's going to take to get me. So maybe it's as simple as that. But I doubt he says that at the – yeah, they offered me 4 years. So I signed. Everybody else was offering me three.
Don't blow the whole press conference, man. Leave some surprises. Maybe he will.
Maybe he will.
Hey, it's like what's his name last year? The tight end who's gone now.
Oh, Hooper, yeah. He's like, they offered me a contract.
Yeah, well, for one thing, they offered me money to play football.
Oh. Thanks for the refreshing honesty. Thank you, Austin. Well, maybe that's it.
Maybe we'll get that from Ryan O'Reilly.
Now, one thing I do know about the O'Reillys is that when they found out about their contracts on July 1st, Ryan was talking with Cal and said that, yeah, I've actually kind of found my home already. I'm going to go to Nashville. And then Cal said, oh, that's interesting because the Preds just reached out to me. So that's why they're both coming in. And it was good catching up with Cal a couple of days ago just to make sure what that process was like for him. He's got two daughters, one son, and he's married now. It's a lot different for him coming back as more of a mentor and just talking to some of his former teammates. I think it was cool to hear that kind of full circle. It's full circle, like the main theme with the Predators, I feel like, the last
couple months. It's
amazing
to me that he's
still
playing.
Oh, absolutely. Like I talked to Nolan Jonkman and a couple other, like, just esteemed guys from that long time ago.
Like, he played for the Predators in 08-09.
I know.
He's still playing in the NHL.
I know. He was drafted in 2005. And I was only just starting to watch the Predators then, which is crazy. But it's good to have the type of mentors in the system that Barry wants, and he knows what Barry's already about. And it's funny, too, because he said that he got the call from Scott Nichol, who was his teammate. So you have to go into, oh, I've played with some of my own coaches prior, not that long ago. So for the Predators, I think this is interesting. I will say, too, Denis Gerionov, it's a one-way deal.
Yep.
So if you do end up wanting to move on from him, whether it's in the system or not, it would be pretty easy to do so. And I think, too, if he does go to Milwaukee, there is merit to it because he did play a lot with the Texas Stars. And so if he's down there and if he's doing something there,
well, I don't think
great.
He's going to Milwaukee.
I don't think he will either as well, but I'm just saying that it shows to me that, okay, we're bringing you in. Like you said, you're here to play hockey. You know, it's the same thing for Denis, too, is we gave you a deal. Clearly, it was the best fit for you. So I'm curious to see what that looks like. But also on the D-men, too, you know, I actually asked Jake a few different times at Dev Camp. I was like, well, how do you feel about going into training camp? Because you've been here all week with a guy like Luke Prokop, who's another big guy that is in Milwaukee. Not that he's going to play in the NHL next year. He could get a call-up. You never know. But I think listening to Jake and what he said, he's like, those five games changed my perspective on what it's like to be a pro. And so more than likely, he's going to cook in the minors too, just like Barry likes to say, and that's quite fine. And he is going to do probably exactly what is asked of him. He seems like a good rule follower, but also too, I think it's interesting that you think that Lazan would be the odd man out. I think that's the easiest way to go. Yeah, I think he's the easiest way to go. Quite frankly, I know that Trotz likes Carrier, but I think he needs to prove himself a little more often than I think.
Well, Carrier is better than Jeremy Lazan.
I think he is better, too. He's a much better skater. He can score a lot more, too. He just had a down year. He got hurt three or four times this year. It was tough. It was a tough out for him, which is just how it rolled for him. But I think until they figure out who is solid, I think that's what matters the most here in this situation. I think it's fair game. That I think the four slots behind Josi and McDonough, I think those are all fair game if you ask me.
If they have Barry, I would throw him in there too. But it's I'm looking at the all-time American Hockey League scorers. Cal O'Reilly's at number 8. He's played 826 minor league games.
How feasible is it for him to get into in the top five? Not that that matters too much this year.
Probably not this year. Bruce Boudreau is number 3, by the way.
I like when we talk about someone like they're ancient and I'm 14 years older than them. So it's a good feeling.
He played for the Predators in 08-09. Been around a long time.
Look at this career. You can't fit that on the back of a card.
You cannot. It's a long career. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Preds. Got some more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Denis Gurianov signed by the Predators yesterday. A one-year, $850,000 deal. Taking your thoughts on that move and what this could mean for the Predators lineup. So, Joe, I'm looking at this right now, and I saw a lot of this in the immediate aftermath of the Gurianov signing yesterday. A lot of Predators fans have gone from, okay, they're selling off, they're going to be bad, we've accepted it, to now the, oh, well, they're going to be pretty much where they've been the last 3-4 years, which is right there on the bubble of a playoffs. Like, I'm looking at this roster right now, and I don't know that I'm convinced it's a playoff team. Some people think that based on the moves that they've made, playoffs should be the expectation. I don't know that I'm convinced that they're a playoff team. I do think that I'm convinced that unless they just get destroyed by injuries, they're going to be right there on the bubble. And maybe they get in, maybe they don't, but Like this idea that the Predators are going to be really bad next year, I think is starting to be less and less likely with the moves that they make.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it still probably has a different feel. It does have a different feel, even if they end up being the exact same kind of results, especially if in the process you're seeing Evangelista develop and you're seeing Thomas, you're seeing Parsonen and these guys. I mean, that's what people want to see. Guys like that, coming on and developing so that you can see the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit. But it is interesting because now you have O'Reilly in. Like Raymond says, of course he says he wants to win. Imagine a coach coming in saying, I was brought here to suck for a few years so we can build up good draft picks. Right. But the point with O'Reilly is there's still the question. I mean, you know if you're O'Reilly, you're not looking at a contender.
Right.
You know that you're coming into a team that just blew things up and will have some young guys in the lineup and has gaps and holes and struggles offensively a lot.
Well, and by the
just
way,
lost, two of its top scorers, whatever you thought about them, they're both gone.
Well, and by the way, he left what people would consider a contender.
Exactly.
Like, Toronto wanted him back. They've made that pretty clear that they wanted Ryan O'Reilly back, and he chose Nashville over that. So, I mean, it is a fair question of why did you do that?
Maybe it's just DeAndre Hopkins, what's the number? Show me the number. I don't know. But I do have to assume that it was maybe laid out for him that, okay, look, there's a Yossi timeline, there's a Forsberg timeline, Saros is elite, so there's a plan here for a couple of years to get this thing to where it's really good. I don't know if they can execute that plan, but right, I mean, I think that had to have been some sort of the discussion in there.
It's hard for me to believe that even with a four-year offer, Ryan O'Reilly would say, yep, just sign me up for a four-year rebuild, we'll just go through the whole thing. Like, I'm pretty sure that Barry Trotz's plan is to have things turned around quicker than that. Now, like you said, whether or not they can execute that are two different things, but you can plan on, and I'm sure that's what was sold to Ryan O'Reilly on that point. So I'm really interested to see what he has to say. Now, it also, we bring up Toronto because he leaves there and, they won a playoff series for the first time in forever. By the way, he was a big part of that. Was a big part of them winning that playoff series. Some people just don't like playing in Toronto. Like, after you do it, you're like, no thanks. I'll go somewhere else. And maybe it was as simple as that for O'Reilly.
In terms of the fishbowl nature of it?
The fishbowl nature, and Johnny's pointed this out on Twitter, and I've heard some of this too. It says, speculation I've heard on a Maple Leafs podcast and on Sportsnet is the reason O'Reilly didn't return to Toronto is the culture in the Leafs locker room with their core four, Matthews, Tavares, Marner, and Nylander. I've heard some of that too. I don't know exactly what that means, but factoring all that together, maybe
they're
that
all
was
a problem?
Are they all every a problem? One of them. Those four guys are insufferable. Can't stand being around any of them.
Is this like the movie Mean Girls? Like, maybe they just sit at their own lunch table on the road and make fun of everybody else?
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, man. Good morning. Hey, I'm trying to ignore the obvious, we've added a couple of veterans, but I know David Poile, like, he's an afterthought now, but, like, a lot of the moves he made were really good. And I bagged on John Hines for a long time, but he had young players playing really well at the end of last year. So I think the pressure, while we all love Trotsky, like, we don't know if these moves are going to be good. We know we were winning at the end of the year last year, with what we had in place. I think the pressure is going to be on Burnett to be good for us, and to make this work with this team. Because I think the roster got better. I mean, I don't think anybody can really deny that. You have Dutchie who left and we're still paying him. That was weird. But at the same time, dude, like I feel like we already had a team that could win in place. And they were only getting better. So I think it's more on coaching than the roster right now, man. I don't know Burnett. So I know you guys know the name better than I do, but I don't think it's as much on roster as it's going to be on coaching.
Hey, thanks for the call. I mean, I am interested to see, to his point on the coaching, what does Andrew Brunette mean for Philip Forsberg? What does Andrew Brunette mean for, you know, a Cody Glass? Guys that are going to have to pay to play really important roles. I mean, we know Forsberg is going to have to play a really important role. I think they're really intrigued by Cody Glass and what he did last year. So what does Andrew Brunette and the way that he wants to play mean for those guys? I you know, look, Forsberg in particular is 2 years removed from a 40-goal season under John Hines. So we know that he's got the ability. We also know that he had his best year with John Hines as his coach. I thought he was disappointing last year. Injuries aside, like, obviously the injury was disappointing, and he was never able to get healthy after that fall that he took in Philadelphia. But before that, I thought there was way too much inconsistency in his game. Like, he signed a huge deal. He's getting paid $8.5 million a year. He's got to be better than he was this past year. So how much better can he be? Is he completely healthy? Is he ready to go? But the coaching part of it from that standpoint is interesting. Like, I think it's a couple of different coaching jobs. I think Andrew Brunette, he's got to try to maximize what Forsberg is, you know, what O'Reilly can do at this stage of his career with some of these veteran guys. But he also, at the same time, like, part of your job is developing these younger players, and you got to find a way to kind of thread that needle if you're Andrew Brunette.
Yeah. I mean, we've already had the conversation about, of course, coaching matters. Of course it does. But, yeah, I think there's still – I think in this sport, maybe more than some others, you know, the quality of the roster, I mean, there's a certain level of coaching, certain things you do as a coach. Some are better than others. But, man, if you don't have the horses, you know, in this sport, then – yeah, you know, I think it's a lot more about that, and I don't necessarily agree with Adam on the roster improving. I mean, look, I think it's going to be more fun for people. People were complaining about Duchesne and Johansson, understandably, for most of the last few years, but I don't think that the roster improved. We don't know the production level of like an Evangelista in an 82-game season. We don't know the production level of a Tomasino. I know that Matt Duchesne had 43 goals 2 years ago, and that even in an off year, he's going to get you 25.
Right. Look, I don't know what Ryan O'Reilly is right now. Like, if Ryan O'Reilly is your first line center, I don't know what that is. I know what it used to be, but I don't know what that is right now. So to your point, I mean, I think there are a ton of question marks about the roster and what it's going to be. Look, even Novak. Like, Novak deserves all the credit in the world for what he did last year. Is that what he is? I'm still not convinced. Like, I'm not convinced that the Tommy Novak we saw for 40 games last year is what he is moving forward. Now, maybe it is. And if it is, that's great news for the Predators. But I'm not convinced of that yet. So I think there are a lot of question marks that are still left. Jesse on the text line says, my thinking now is if we're a bubble team this year, if no other deals are made, we can add pieces at the deadline to compete if the situation presents itself. What are your thoughts on that?
You got the Preds buying at the deadline already again. Oh, boy.
I mean, look, this is just me. I'd be really hesitant to buy this year, really regardless of the circumstance. Like, this would be one of those years to me where I'm looking at the team and I'm saying, it's on you. We're gonna put you out there. If you can put yourself in a playoff spot, great, but I don't know how much buying I'd be doing just because I don't see a path to competing for a championship. And to me, like, if you can't compete for a championship, it's hard for me to get behind buying.
Yeah. I mean, you buy, like, again, this is a hypothetical situation. Are you, like, on the bubble, so you're buying to get in? To me, no.
I wouldn't do that.
No. Josh from Lebanon said – Lebanon, I just said. Josh from Lebanon. Could be. Well, that's true. I don't know that it's – Lebanon and not Lebanon. So let us know, Josh. He says, in the hockey world, how similar is the St. Louis and Nashville media markets? That may have been one of the reasons O'Reilly chose Nashville over Toronto.
I mean, they're pretty similar.
Yeah. So, in other words, you think
Toronto's O'Reilly's just a circus out there?
O'Reilly's afraid of reporters? Is that what you're trying to say, Josh?
I mean, Toronto is a little bit of a circus out
there.
Also,
what continent are you on, Josh? What do
let
you
us
mean?
Know.
What do you mean, what continent are you on?
Lebanon or Lebanon? Let us know. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On Brugler, he actually has him fourth. He has him as a first, second round grade and number 30 overall. I mean, I think that's got to be largely about the injury. You're talking about a microdiscectomy.
Ugh.
By the way, I didn't even realize this. He also has had a torn ACL in the past and sciatica symptoms from lifting weights that required a different surgery. So two surgeries plus an ACL.
What was that last word?
Sciatica. Sciatica, and I may be totally butchering that, symptoms from lifting weights.
You probably sciatica. Are.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, it's sciatica. Oh, my God, I'm an idiot.
Oh, it is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. That's a new one, Nick. I like it. I have to keep that one in the vault.
I want Michelle back.
Well, you know that this was made before I even came on the show, right?
I know. She busted that out a couple times, too. That's a real beaut. Let me tell you.
You're beautiful. A beaut, Joe. It's all right.
That was Sciatica. The video. That's great, though, too, because when Robbie kind of realizes what I've done, he, you know, you
can, a little bit of a smirk.
You can see the excitement, yeah, on his face.
I was ready to pounce. It's that time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rexrode, the floor is yours, your rant of the day.
All right, well, we referred to this a little bit earlier in the week, but I think this is worth a little bit more, especially when you just, like, read Jim Wyatt's answer and, like, the question and everything. His mailbag was from July 7th, okay? Love Jimmy Wyatt's mailbags.
They're awesome.
He's got some he's got some good zingers in there. He's got some really interesting questions.
Yes,
man.
He does.
I mean, sometimes I'm
every
like
time.
Sometimes I'm like, Jimmy, you writing these yourself, dude? Like,
there's some dudes.
A few cocktails
in there.
And then you write something. No,
I want to know, like, what's he leaving out?
Yeah.
What doesn't make it?
Right. And like, is there editing, like, in terms of some of the thoughts here that it's like William Faulkner stream of consciousness questions. But so this question from J.B. Jones from Houston, Texas, is as simple. He just asked about Malik Willis and the third QB and all that stuff. And Jim just says, hey, J.B., appreciate you reading. Malik's roster spot isn't guaranteed, even with the new rule. Blah, 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 blah. You know, just explain it to him, okay?
Yep.
That's all it is. Like, an obvious thing that we all know. Is that guaranteed? And like, this has been discussed a million times. But let's go to the internet. Mike Florio, headline, Malik Willis isn't guaranteed, in quotes, a roster spot. Okay. Thanks, Mike. Let's see. What do we have? Oh, CBS Sports, Malik Willis's murky future. Fantasy Pros. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was about Malik competing for the starting job last year.
Yes.
Let's see. You got Roto. I mean, on and on. It's like, Malik Willis, not Roto Baller. Willis, not guaranteed. It's just you know, flipboard. I don't even know what the heck some of these sites are. Okay?
There's that Seahawks fan site I came across talking about Malik Willis being the next Geno Smith. They should go get him.
There you go. Yeah, there's a Lions site here. You know, should the Lions? You know. I mean, this is just a simple little answer to a question. It's fine. The question's fine. By the way,
yeah. I'm
not ripping on J.B. Jones from Houston, Texas. The question's fine. Just wondering about, because we've been talking about this since they changed the rule and Malik Willis, and it's been a thing. All he said is Malik's roster spot isn't guaranteed, even with the new rule. Tannehill allows to be on the roster. These are things, it's just an explanation of something that has been known for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it becomes a freaking hit. And I understand it's July, but my God, people, it's just amazing how this stuff, and I know that this is also a repeat rant because things like this have happened before, but like how... Like, Florio, you know, Florio's good. I like Florio, but sometimes it's like, I guess it's just like, well, this can serve as a headline.
Aggregating,
so,
yes.
Yeah. Again, that's what's interesting. Like, Florio aggregates. Now, he does some of his own reporting.
He does.
He has some good stuff, and there's some good content. I like him on Sunday Night Football, but it's like you know what you're doing. Come on, man. Like, and so then that, because I have to just look at what he did, and then I think that turns into all these other headlines. And it's just unnecessary, man. It's just unnecessary. So anyway, you go through even the write-up, and it's you know, Willis per Wyatt, quote, outperformed Levis during the offseason program. I mean, I think at times it's better to go ahead and just put the whole sentence in, or just, you know, I know he links it too, but –
it just becomes this totally unnecessary storm.
Well, what I would love to know, whether it's Mike Florio or anybody else piecing this together, as you look at the Titans quarterback situation as presently constructed with Ryan Tannehill under contract for this year, and they just drafted Will Levis in the second round and moved up to do so. Like, what did you think was going to happen to Malik Willis? Like, is it some shocking revelation to you that he might not be on the team, given the fact that they have Tannehill and Will right. Levis? Like, I would love to know what you're looking at.
Right. Whoa! Are you saying he's not guaranteed to be on the team, even though they have a highly paid starter and a guy they just moved up in the second round? No way! How could that be?
I mean, I guess the argument would be, did they think it was some foregone conclusion that the Titans are keeping three quarterbacks? I mean, that's the only thing I can come up with.
And when's the last time there was a team in the league where it was a foregone conclusion? Again, I understand the rule, but this is where, it's good to have the answer repeatedly because, we had this in the text line yesterday. You still have to have him on the 53.
Correct.
Now, you can't just practice squad a guy and then add him on game day. You have to have him on the 53. So, yeah, I don't know. But there's a lot. We also had Malik, now sudden Malik Willis is just destroying Levis. Yeah,
Will Levis is light years behind Malik Willis.
Yeah, and all this stuff, So it should be interesting. It's going to be I'm anticipating camp probably more than some camps because that situation is interesting. But it's also going to be just a roller coaster of overreactions.
Well, you're going to.
From some people more than others.
You're going to have to, keep a chart. This is going to be a chart training camp for you. Number one, for the kicker. See how the kickers are doing. But number two, how many throws does Malik Willis make that Will Levis doesn't? Vice versa. How many throws does Will Levis make that Malik Willis doesn't? A chart time for Joe Rexroth.
I'll be all over that. Let me tell you something. Since we're kind of on the quarterback thing, I will read this from LD. I didn't know any of this, but I find this weird.
Okay.
LD says, evidently Jared stalks Levis on Instagram. He does not want Levis filming his personal workouts. Specifically, don't video yourself carrying a phone and tripod. Also, wants Levis to wear approved workout clothing and not regular clothes. Or in this case, a Pete Rose jersey. In Jared's world, Levis is wearing full pads and a helmet while tossing the ball through a tire swing. Because according to Jared, that's what Brady did. Right. Did he actually say all this? That's my question. LD is a little bit of a Jared hater. So,
right.
What the heck was that?
It's just a cut up of Jared saying, right.
I like it.
I'm looking at Will Levis's Instagram story right now. He is throwing a pass in a Pete Rose jersey. And then the second clip is him throwing, crossing routes over the middle with no shirt on. What do we think of that?
Why would anyone care what he's wearing?
I don't know. I
just want to know if this is true. So, Jared, I'm sure you're hate listening right now. Let us know if you actually said these ridiculous things.
Right. I mean, in the second clip, he starts with a long sleeve shirt on, and then the second clip is the shirt off. So I guess he got hot out there. I don't know.
Okay. Is that okay?
Is that what he did yesterday?
Is that all right?
I just saw the tweet from Jared yesterday. Again, I was running around doing a lot of things yesterday. But I just saw the tweet from Jared yesterday that said, we react to Will Levis's latest workout video next.
Whoopty hell.
That's all I wanted to do.
I almost want to go
back. I want to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, I know. I almost need to go back and listen to the segment now. Is he really, the tire swing? Is that really what Brady did?
I mean, Brady, I saw a video of Brady recently where he threw a football off a yacht and hit a drone out of the air, a month ago.
Really?
He still got it.
How much avocado tequila had been consumed?
Well, that's a great question. By the way, a lot of people on the text line giving Nick Kieser the round of applause for the Skiatika pool that we just saw to begin this segment. People very happy with us revisiting Skiatika.
Just don't overuse it, though, It's like one of those things that you want to, it's like a great song. You want to play it every once in a while.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's good. Well, I can use Tunes every now and then, too.
There's options.
We've got options. Yeah.
Jared from Spring Hill on the text line says, Stillman did say that, but he came from the standpoint of, is he doing this for vanity or to get better, from a caller who asked. This is from Jared from Spring Hill.
I'm way older than all of you. And if you don't notice that all the young people today go on freaking social media and film themselves and all that, I mean, really?
It kind of is what it is, man.
Do you still have a rotary phone?
He's TikToking out there. You got to get Rex on TikTok.
This is what the kids do, okay?
This is what they do.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. Take your thoughts on them. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad. 1025-1063 The Game.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.